This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Fourth and 10. Snap back, Martinez. Sets, looks to throw, throwing deep left, looking for a receiver. It is knocked down, incomplete. No flag. And the Illini are going to win over Nebraska.
Yes!
Yes. Didn't take long to have an upset, did it? Week zero. Provided the first one is Brett Bielema. And the 7-point underdog fighting Illini knock off the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. We thank the Illinois Radio Network for that call. And we begin, or maybe we continue, the Scott Frost watch on the hot seat.
It was a bad start before it started. This didn't help. And a continuation of the struggles in the Scott Frost era. Think about it. This is year four. Here are the records. 4-8, 5-7, 3-5. And this year could be worse than all of them.
They didn't look good.
This is not Nebraska football, but it's what it's been for some time. You thought you had the right guy. He's a former player. He had success at UCF. And I just don't see a turnaround.
Here was the worst part of it for me is, yes, we know that Nebraska hasn't been what it was, but you were the only game in town last weekend. Everybody saw it. They saw the train wreck.
Yeah, it's a chance to put your best foot forward. And I've looked at this schedule, talk about this could be the worst of all. They had Oklahoma this year out of conference, and the Big Ten is a pretty decent league.
I'm not looking forward to that reunion in a couple of weeks, the 50th anniversary of the greatest game in college football history, at least it is to me. Over the weekend, we had the Gulf Coast dealing once again with hurricane-force winds. Ida came through New Orleans and parts of Louisiana, knocking out power to some 2 million residents. That meant teams were forced to move workouts to different locations, including LSU, which is traveling to Los Angeles this weekend to take on UCLA. They went to Houston. The Tigers spent the early part of the week trying to avoid the storm. Tulane also moved out of the path and worked out in Birmingham. In fact, they were at Alabama, University of Alabama, earlier in the week in preparation for their game with Oklahoma. The decision was made to move the Green Wave and Sooners game to Norman with an 11 a.m. start. Tulane coach Willie Fritz, he's an old veteran of dealing with change.
We're just kind of rolling with the punches right now. You know, I'm very lucky with my background. I'm an old JUCO coach. You know, I drove the bus to four national championship games, so this is no big deal. I've done the laundry and taped the ankles and lined the fields, and so I'm used to this. And, you know, so our guys understand we're, and most of my coaches are like that too. So we're even though we're at a unbelievably prestigious university, we're a blue-collar football program. So our guys are adapting well. They're doing a super job of understanding that this is a hand we've been dealt. We've got to, you know, deal with it in a positive manner. They've done a super, super job.
It looks like Tulane will have to move their home games as well. They're going to, the rest of them, at least for the next month. And they may be playing in Birmingham. That is not official yet, or at least I haven't seen anything official. But the question is, and we'll throw LSU in this mix, having to go through the change and getting yourself ready to play, especially a first game, how do you think that affects these teams?
Yeah, LSU, the first leg of their tour is getting to Houston, which took forever just to do that, and obviously going all the way to the West Coast. But Tulane, it's tough. This was a big game for them in their backyard, having Oklahoma come in. You got the Heisman frontrunner in Spencer Rattler, and that's another reason why I don't think the venue is going to matter much in the scoreboard. It's probably going to be lopsided.
And you can talk about splitting the gate all you want to, but it's not the same. You want to play those games when you get the opportunity to bring them,
and
especially a school like that.
And a lot of times, like Tulane, they have to travel. They don't get the chance to have a big team like Oklahoma, one of the top-ranked teams in the country, come to their neck of the woods. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. In a league that rarely plays conference games, the first weekend, the Big Ten has an impressive opening schedule. A total of four conference tilts open the season, including Ohio State and Minnesota, Michigan State at Northwestern, and a couple of top 20 matchups with 17th-ranked Indiana facing number 18 Iowa and 19th-ranked Penn State traveling to Madison to face 12th-ranked Wisconsin. Take your pick of the favorite matchup, but the one team that might need a win the most is Penn State, which opened 2020 with five straight losses. It's a tough road opener for James Franklin, but he's familiar with Camp Randall Stadium and the fans.
I spent some time in Wisconsin, and I'll never forget coming out of the Packers facility, which is right across the street. I want to say it was like a Thursday, you know, we played on like Sunday, you know, obviously in the NFL. And there was like four guys sitting in the parking lot grilling brats and drinking beers, getting ready for the game. You know, I think there'll be some brats and beers, but I also think there's going to be a bunch of cheers because, you know, people have missed college football. You know, people have missed getting together as a community. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that's great about college football is it brings people together. I think like nothing else. The Big Ten, as well as Wisconsin specifically, and I know Penn State has worked really hard to try to do it in a way where we keep everybody as safe as we possibly can. Playing an outdoor sport helps with that too.
I don't say this because of the brats, but I have going to Camp Randall Stadium is on my bucket list.
Hey, you smell them?
I do.
The brats are cooking.
I'm loving it. And that's not just there, everywhere. We're just glad, and he made the point, we're having fans in the stands, and we've already seen it, and it's going to be terrific.
Yeah, and all the conferences. Big Ten was one of those that did not have fans attend games last year, and that was missed. And it is a big part of the game, obviously, the whole experience. And all these games this weekend, especially the Big Ten, these two top 25 matchups, are one of those teams a real contender? Because Ohio State, we know, is going for their fifth straight championship in the Big Ten. There's one team that stands out to me that I like, and I'm going to put it out there. Not saying they're going to knock off the Buckeyes, but I like Indiana. I like Michael Penix, their quarterback. They've got a tough road to go, though. They got to get through Iowa first. And you got to win these games early if you're going to have a shot at OSU.
Yeah, that's the problem. You need to win the early ones to put yourself in position to possibly play for a Big Ten championship. Well, speaking of champions, Alabama begins its defense of the 2020 national title with a trip to Atlanta to face Miami. The Crimson Tide has played the season opener at a neutral site 10 times under Nick Saban. That includes six in the ATL. The average margin of victory in those games, 21 points. Gary Furman is the editor of canesport.com covering the Hurricanes. He didn't sugarcoat what Miami must do to pull off the upset.
If it's going to be favorable for Miami, the way it'll work out is De'Ara King has to play a near-perfect ballgame. And Rhett Lashley has to find ways to attack Alabama's defense. They're going to have to score some points. I don't think the Miami defense, even with the issues that Alabama has in terms of breaking in a new quarterback, bringing Bill O'Brien in as offensive coordinator, first game back at college, that could involve an adjustment. So from the Miami standpoint, the offense is going to have to play near perfect, hit a few big plays. De'Ara King is going to have to be an elite Heisman Trophy level almost performer on that day. And the defense is going to have to be able to do just enough and make just enough plays, force mistakes. And if all that happens, then maybe they can be in the game in the fourth quarter. If half of that happens, Alabama probably wins going away.
Saturday Down South, a website that we look at occasionally, said that this is the toughest quarterback that a Nick Saban coach team in that opener has played. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I thought you were going to play the raps for us, the ones that are dissing Alabama, and then the response from the Alabama professor. But, yeah, I will say De'Ara King has one advantage over Bryce Young, and it's experience.
Sure.
But to beat Alabama, you need elite quarterback play. And most people aren't giving Miami a chance, and for good reason. Alabama is perfect in these games under Nick Saban. He has never lost one of these games to open a season, and they just dominated everybody last year. But that was last year. They won by 30 points per game. That's probably their 19-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, the football weekend, of course, extended into Labor Day. Florida State's playing Notre Dame on Sunday. Ole Miss and Louisville will meet in Atlanta on Monday. But the best matchup? It's in Charlotte on Saturday. Top five foes, Georgia and Clemson, are set to meet with the winner getting an early edge in the playoff race. Can't believe I just said that, but I did. The Tigers are a slight favorite. There are some similarities in the approach of these two teams. Tough running game, great defensive lines, plenty of top recruits. Frankly, it's a tough one to pick. Phil Kornblut of South Carolina Radio Network, he covers Clemson and South Carolina. He gave his ideas on the matchup.
Well, it's a tough call because the two teams are so closely matched, and the spread's only 3 points. And you look at the two teams, and you see two rock-solid defenses. You see two teams with two California quarterbacks who can sling it. Running the football could be a challenge both ways because the defensive fronts on both sides are so good. I mean, between them, you probably got six or seven future NFL defensive linemen in there. But, I mean, I think the difference in the game will come down to the passing game. I think the running games are going to be snuffed out. It's going to hinge on which quarterback and which receivers are able to have the best game.
I still got a few hours to decide on who I think is going to win this game. I'm going to wait till right up till kickoff about 7 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, good idea.
That's tough.
It's as good a game as we've had in about 4 years, I think. Dabo Swinney pointed out the Alabama-Florida State game, which was an SEC-ACC matchup, 1-3. This is the highest-ranked teams that have played to open a season since then. And you don't get these regular season top five matchups much. You usually have to wait till the postseason and the playoff or something like that. But I do believe it is probably coming down to quarterback play. There was a 38-35 game with two top 10 teams, Clemson and Georgia, back in 2013. Uiagalelei, I look at him. He is a guy that has had a little bit of experience and proven himself, and JT Daniels has done the same. But look at who JT Daniels faced now down the stretch. Here's the schedule they played last year at the end of the year and the teams he beat. South Carolina, Mississippi State, Missouri, and, of course, Cincinnati. This is a good team, so he's got to do it against a good team. We'll see if he's legitimate in this Heisman race. It's already started, by the way, even though we haven't even kicked off the season yet.
It should be impressive. And by the way, I'm impressed the fact that you got his name correct the very first time you said it.
Don't double check that because I probably missed a syllable or didn't emphasize there.
Gotcha. One more thing. With everybody opening the season at the same time, save a few from last week, it's a great chance to check on different streaks in college football. Let's start with opening day, the winning streak where Ohio State has won 21 straight. Alabama is just behind them at 19. How about overall current winning streaks? Alabama has that number at the moment. 13-0 season last year. They're currently on a 14-game winning streak. What about the longest home winning streak? Clemson owns that, winning 28 straight at Memorial Stadium. Who has the current longest losing streak? That dubious distinction goes to Kansas, losers of 13 in a row. And to add a little insult, the Jayhawks have a losing streak against every team on their schedule this season, including 16-game losing streak to Oklahoma, 12 straight to Kansas State, 11 straight to Baylor and Oklahoma State. Meanwhile, three teams are on a current winning streak against all of their opponents. That is led by Alabama, who is a combined 70-0 against its 2021 opponents. Oklahoma is on a 61-0 run. Notre Dame, 29-0 run. But as the saying goes, streaks are made to be broken. Right, Jayhawks? This week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week comes from the West Coast, as UCLA opens the season with a win over Hawaii. Dorian Thompson Robinson with a 44-yard strike to Casimir Allen as part of the Bruins' 34-point victory. Josh Lewin has the call on the Bruins radio network.
DTR looking. He wants Brown deep. Actually, it's Allen getting free. He's got it at the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, UCLA. Oh, the separation by Casimir Allen.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here, and the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Can you say huge opening weekend? Yes, you can. Here's Michael Butler.
With opening weekend, we do have a variety of cupcakes and cream puffs. But some teams are getting right into the meat of their schedules with some showcase matchups. In the Big Ten, number 19 Penn State is at number 12 Wisconsin. And number 17 Indiana is at number 18 Iowa. The Steve Sarkisian era begins at Texas. The Longhorns are number 21 in the first AP poll and face number 23 Louisiana in Austin. Alabama begins defense of their 2020 national championship as the preseason number one in Atlanta versus 14th-ranked Miami in a rematch of the 1992 national championship game. The biggest game of the weekend might be in Charlotte. Number 5 Georgia takes on number 3 Clemson. This is the 65th meeting in the series. The first was in 1897. The last time the two played was in 2014. It's the highest ranking collectively between the two teams in the history of the rivalry. The most notable overall might be that game played in 1984, with Georgia winning 26-23 on a 60-yard field goal by kicker Kevin Butler. No relation. Take it away, Larry Munson.
So we'll try to kick one 100,000 miles. We're holding it on our own 49.5. Going to try to kick it 60 yards, plus a foot and a half, and Butler kicked a long one, Oh, my God! Oh, my God! The stadium is worse than bonkers. 11 seconds. I can't believe what he did. This is ungodly.
It's time for a visit with Gridiron Chef Doc.
Hey, Graham, Michael, and Lynn, and everybody at Lindy's Football Report. We are returning in all its glory to the parking lot, and for that, Lindy's Football Report is happy to provide you with a grilled poblano chili salsa to start your game day, grilled poblano peppers, fresh Roma tomatoes with some garlic, onion, and seasonings. You're going to grill it. You're going to steep this in a pan, and then you're going to blend it in a blender, and then you're going to cook it for about 15 minutes. Great overnight in the fridge, and it'll be ready for a perfect community tailgate dish to serve with your first cerveza on your first week one game day. Whether you're at home, whether you're in the parking lot, you can certainly in advance get this recipe at tailgatehomegatenation.com. Grilled poblano chili salsa from Gridiron Chef Doc. Wherever you are this weekend, please celebrate your team, celebrate the return of the parking lot, but have a safe and delicious one.
Lynn Scarborough joins us, Lindy's and lindysports.com. Finally, we get to the first weekend. I know we had a couple of games last week, Lynn, but it's so good to get college football back again.
Isn't it nice to be actually talking about college football and instead of the off-the-field things? Of course, the off-the-field things are still there that are affecting the game and will affect it in the future. But I'm really glad that we're talking about football. We had the possibility of some games being messed up because of the weather, and of course you got COVID as well, but I'm glad we're going to be playing.
Yeah, you talked about the weather, the hurricane that hit this weekend in New Orleans and New Louisiana. It obviously has affected what's happening down there. We've had a couple of teams, LSU and Tulane, both being affected by practice and getting to their places. I know that this seems to be a more and more common thing.
It does. It seems like every year we have this. And this is the first week of the season, and we're just getting into hurricane season. So it wouldn't surprise me if we have this again. You know, Tulane came to Birmingham and practiced for their ball game. LSU is the one that might really could affect because they had to take a long bus ride to Houston, longer than it normally is, then had to practice there, don't get to come back home, have to go straight from Houston to UCLA to play what is a pretty good UCLA team. So it could have some impact there with LSU.
Scott Frost, not off to a good start last weekend. A tough loss at Illinois. Are the days numbered for the former great quarterback?
Probably. And I hate to be that firm about it, but have you looked at his schedule? Their schedule coming up, they play Buffalo this week at home. Surely they'll win that. This is in sequence at Oklahoma, at Michigan State, Northwestern at home, Michigan, at Minnesota. Then they got a couple of games in there. Then they close Ohio State at Wisconsin, Iowa. Based on what you saw on television against Illinois, who we have picked last in their division of the Big Ten, by the way, you know, how many games did I just name that they win? I mean, maybe two. He's sort of in a similar situation, Graham, to Tennessee, to Texas, to Michigan. You've got some big-name teams, traditional powers, that in recent years have not been very relevant.
Meanwhile, the conferences are announcing COVID policy, and what I mean by that is if you can't play, if your team can't play, you're going to have to forfeit. The SEC announced this week both teams could possibly forfeit a game, the same game, which is amazing.
Yeah, I've got real mixed feelings about that. You know, I don't view somebody getting sick, having an illness, as some other things that could cause a game not to be played. And I'm torn about whether or not it's fair. But we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully COVID just won't raise its ugly head and mess things up very badly.
All right, the tradition, as usual, we pick games. These are Saturday games. We're going to start in the Big Ten, where Indiana plays Iowa.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa in that. I'm going to take them because of the home field. They're, you know, I think defenses usually win games more than offenses. They have an outstanding defense coming back. You know, both teams are ranked. How long has it been since Indiana and Iowa have played each other with both teams being ranked? You know, I guess it's happened before. But I'm going to take Iowa. They got Spencer Peters at the quarterback position. That Michael Penix is good at Indiana, too, but I'm going to go with Iowa.
All right, LSU is moving out west to take on UCLA.
Yeah, and LSU's had a rough week. That could definitely have a factor on this. UCLA is not a bad team. I watched them against Hawaii. They looked good. Kirk Herbstreit on the first game day said that he thought UCLA was the dark horse for the Pac-12. They have, you know, UCLA's got 20 starters back, and both of their kickers. So I think they got a chance to upset LSU. I think LSU will win, so I'm going to pick them. But it won't surprise me to see UCLA actually win this ball game.
A Monday night game in Atlanta, Louisville, and Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ole Miss. Their offense is just too strong. Louisville didn't win, I think, before games last year. Matt Corral's outstanding quarterback. You know, Ole Miss is going to have to get its defense to be better before it becomes a much better team. But I think against Louisville in this ball game that they'll win it.
Also in Atlanta, but on Saturday, Alabama-Miami.
Well, you got to take Alabama. But again, it's sort of like I said about the Louisiana Tech-Mississippi State game. I don't understand the line. It's like a 18-point line or something like that. Derek King is back as the quarterback at Miami. He led the nation in offense a couple of years ago at Houston. They have nine offensive starters back. Miami does. They don't lose but one offensive lineman. And Alabama certainly lost a lot, losing Najee Harris and the Heisman winner and the Biletnikoff winner and, you know, losing the veteran quarterback. So I really expect this to be a close ball game. I don't think it's going to be one of these runaways, but I do take Alabama to win it.
And another game of the century in Charlotte, Georgia and Clemson.
I like Georgia. I think it will be a good ball game. At quarterback, I like JT Daniels for Georgia. I personally think he's the best quarterback in the conference. You know, Clemson's got a new quarterback. He's had some experience before, and he did well when he did. I think it will be close, but I think the Bulldogs win it.
And we always have an upset special from you. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take a major ball game. I like Penn State to go to Wisconsin and win the game. Mertz is a good quarterback at Wisconsin. They've got eight defensive starters. They're a good team. They've got an outstanding defense. But Penn State's got Sean Clifford's back for like his third year to be the starting quarterback. Their top four receivers are back, including Jahan Dotson. They got nine offensive starters back. Their kickers are back. And they got something to prove after starting 0-5 last year. So I like Penn State. I think they'll not only cover the line, but go in and win.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.